Saw Movie 14 times 2, opened and took Ghibli to the cleaners. In hindsight, Ghibli didn't stand a chance between Pokemon and Harry Potter. It's not the first time Pokemon has released on the same week as a Ghibli movie, and it's not the first time Pokemon has come out the victor. I'm still trying to figure out the dual movie thing, though. It's a conundrum. Like, are they different? Surely they are, but, well, what is the plots? And maybe why? Why two movies instead of one and then the other? I don't know. Ah! But back to the actual point. Hi! This is Pikabee Podcast, a fancast for Pokemon. We're here to just have fun going through each episode one by one for as long as we can. And today we are on episode 19. Tentacool and Tentacruel, and we're continuing the banned episode series because, like Beauty and the Beach, this episode was also banned for a few years. No, James Bikini did not make a return appearance, but when the show aired in the US, it was very close to the September 11th attacks, and the shots of Tentacruel destroying a building might have been thought to be hit close to home for the little kids around that time, and fair enough, really. But a few years later, the show got picked up by Cartoon Network. And since the event was a little bit more in the rearview mirror for us back then, and Cartoon Network is just a bit more edgy than Kids WB sometimes, it was aired and released with the rest of the Indigo League episodes. So upon finding our heroes, they haven't made it that far, still in Tropical Island World, stuck there until they can catch a passing ferry. There are worse places to be stuck, I would think. While waiting, Pikachu sees an injured horsey. I got a nice big shiner. They want to catch it and take it to the Pokemon Center, but this horsey's got a stubborn streak. Or an agenda. It spits out some ink and manages to make a pretty decent rendering of the title characters. While debating what to do about the hurt horsey, a ship on the bay explodes and Misty springs into action. Misty! You're back! I missed having her actually do stuff. She was so useful when the St. Anne sunk, and then nothing for a few episodes. I'm glad she's finally getting the chance to be proactive. And her Pokemon deserve some limelight, too. She sends them out to help the people on the boat, and snaps at Ash for taking a second to admire her, sending him and Brock out to find another boat to save the sinking passengers. The sailors are a little worse for wear, terrorized and possibly paralyzed by whatever happened. The last one keeps insisting deliriously that he has to tell the boss, and Ash takes it upon himself to do that for him. Unfortunately, guess who's the boss? If you think this old lady looks remarkably similar to the old lady from last episode, you're right. This Nastina, actually, is cousins with the last lady, Brutella, and is commonly mistaken for her. With all these people who look exactly like their family members, I'm beginning to have questions about the genetics of the Pokemon world. Like, maybe Mewtwo isn't the only thing they've been cloning out on New Island, just saying. But Nastina's just as mean, just as egotistical, just as into the high life as her cousin, and I have to say, for all her faults, she's not holding back. The clothes, the house, the gaggle of beautiful young men in Speedos to wait on her. You know, between the young guys and the clothes, Nastina reminds me of those people who are like in their 40s and 50s, but dress like they're in their teens. She's 55 going on 13. She has pigtails and a feather boa and surrounds herself with guys at least 30 years younger than her. I don't know. Nastina is busy building a super luxury resort out on the bay, the hotel to end all hotels, but she's having trouble keeping the local Tentacool from sabotaging her plans. And while she's on that rant, real fish? Why? Were there not enough Pokemon fish in this episode already? Did we need more? Nastina tries to get the kids to exterminate the Tentacruel, and while Ash and Brock are temporarily blinded by the piles of money she's willing to give them, Misty wants no part of it. Granted, I don't think Ash and Brock could actually get rid of the Tentacruel in any sense of the word, no matter how much money was thrown at them. They wouldn't, but still, it's good that Misty had her head on straight here, getting them out of there. Misty thinks the Tentacruel are cute. Ash disagrees, but he points out that she has a different personality when talking about water Pokemon. And she really does, doesn't she? She goes on to list several good points about Tentacool, water Pokemon in general, and even notices that the horsey they saw earlier had a unique personality of its own, a creative artist. Speaking of, Horsey has recovered from its injuries and is chilling in the waiting pool with Pikachu, but Horsey still has a message it needs to get across about the Tentacool. Unfortunately, there's a communication problem between it and the humans. What's that, Horsey? Timmy fell down the well! But Nestina adds to the conflict by offering a reward to anyone who can exterminate the Tentacool. And while exterminate is used vaguely here, it does seem like this is one of the instances where humans actually discuss deliberately killing Pokemon, or killing anything for that matter. It's weird. While Misty and her friends might not be swayed by money, the rest of the town is built on shallow morals, or they're very, very broke. It's a stampede of people willing to take out those Tentacool. And as if things weren't dramatic enough, prepare for trouble. Team Rocket sails in for... Why are they here? Do they have some sort of homing radar built in? Like they just heard someone offer money and boom, they're there. Good grief, they are good. All of this is terribly upsetting to Misty, as the ocean is personal to her. I wouldn't worry, though. Team Rocket hasn't successfully gotten anything done for 18 episodes. Why should they start now? Team Rocket's super juice to stun the Tentacool instead backfires and causes one of them to evolve into this gargantuan Godzilla of a Tentacool, or a Tentacruel, sorry, and Nestina and her super speedo squad open fire. Luckily, it doesn't do anything but make Tentacruel more irritated than they already are. Or is that a bad thing? Tentacool flood the town with a mini tidal wave, and with their leader Tentacruel, they start bashing up all the hotels and resorts. It's war, folks. Ash tries to get Pikachu to help, but Pikachu is all, "I'm not touching that," and Ash concedes. Pika and Goliath will have to be a battle for another day. But Tentacruel has Meowth grasped in its tentacle, which means some psychic ventriloquism can be used. Through Meowth, the Tentacool tell humans how they're angry about their home being messed with and are going to destroy the human's home in return. No offense, but I kind of figured that one out on my own. Horsey proves its bravery, though, when it tries to reason with the Tentacruel, and Tentacruel calls it spineless, but I say Horsey has guts, going against that big gangster of the sea. And it actually retaliates, turning the accusation back around and calling Tentacruel and company spineless, only destroying and getting revenge rather than finding another solution. Of course, Tentacruel doesn't like that, and some quick help from Ash and Pidgeotto saves Horsey's blue little hide. But inspired by Horsey getting the crap beat out of it for the sake of humanity, Pikachu gets some gusto back and decides to pay back some of his experiences with the better half of humankind. The kids send out all their Pokemon that aren't fire or rock types and form a strike team. They fly! It is pretty awesome, but more impressive, Zubat! Where have you been? Like, we haven't seen that guy since Brock caught it, I think. But Ash Force One sends the Tentacool back to the sea, clearing them out of the town and distracting them, and Misty's plan goes even further than that. She climbs a tower while Pikachu uses its diplomacy skills, very, very impassioned, and when Misty steps up to apologize for humanity's sake, Tentacruel agrees to back down. Nestina, on the other hand, has a thicker skull, but thankfully Tentacruel is willing to see that she's the only human still on the destroy the ocean side, and dispatches her easily. She flies far away, joining her cousin Brutella, and Misty catches herself a horsey, and steals Ash's pose while doing so. Brock also wants in on the action, and Ash argues that they should just get their own poses. I don't know, I'm with Brock and Misty. Ash's pose makes me feel just that much cooler. As long as no one else is watching. One of the last shots is Pikachu and Horsey sitting around together, watching the sunset. Welcome to the team, Horsey. Glad to have an artistic rebel around. This is kind of an interesting episode, because I guess it's technically a Misty episode, but everybody kind of gets their moment to shine, you know. Despite it being Misty's story, Ash kind of has his moment where he's saving the day, and all his Pokemon, like I said, except for, I think, Charmander and Brock's rock Pokemon are all out. They all get to have a part in this. Pikachu kind of has his little arc in the story. Horsey definitely gets his screen time and moment to shine. And like I said, even Zubat comes out. We haven't seen him for a while. It really is, like, kind of an ensemble piece. I like it. I kind of like episodes like that, where it, like, they kind of remind me of the Destiny Deoxys movie, I think was the pinnacle for that one. But you really just get to see everybody and all the relationships at play, and it all comes together to make the episode. It's kind of a cool format. But that is it for this week. Tune in next week to watch Brock fall in love. Not like that's anything new, but this time there's a twist. If you'd like to tune in, you can do that a few ways. You can visit our blog, www.peekabeepodcast.blogspot.com, or we are on iTunes as well, Peekabee, and you can comment at either of those places and subscribe. So please tune in.
And until next time, gotta catch them all.
Pikachu!